And I was told I should have made more bulletins, but I couldn't get into the office, so no. If you're joining us this morning, we have been going for the last 5 or 6 weeks talking about how we make decisions. And the questions that can be asked as we face some of those decisions and as we make individual decisions in our lives. And so we've gotten through three of them already. I would run through them, but I'm going to do that during the sermon, so you'll just have to wait for that. And today we get to the fourth of five questions that any one of us can ask to help us make better decisions and have fewer regrets. I was talking to a friend of mine not too long ago, and he told me that he did not give his children a curfew when they started to drive. They were 16, 17, and he said, I learned if I gave them a curfew, it taught them to be too aggressive drivers. I said, what? He said, you know, the 5 more minute rule. You got some young ones back there. You probably know a little bit about that 5 minute rule. They said they'll be with their friends and they'll say, I can stay 5 more minutes and then I've got to leave. And then 5 minutes turns into 5 more minutes and 5 more minutes. And finally they get to that point where they say, hey, I got 5 minutes and I got to get home, right? 5 minutes. Maybe you guessed that line was coming. Maybe you remember using that line. I don't know. So my friend told me, I don't tell my kids when to be home. I tell them what time they need to leave so they can get home by a certain time. He takes curfew one step further. And he says, with the advent of the He said, I'm sure, I'm always able to go back and make sure that they're leaving on time, right? Fact of the matter is, we all experience in some fashion as adults that 5 minute rule. We experience it in a way that oftentimes our margin in life, we get way too close to the borders of being careful and being responsible and being moral. How many times, I shouldn't ask this amongst the brethren crowd, but how many times have you heard people say, one more drink? Don't raise your hands, okay? But one more drink. Or somebody say, I've got to go on one more business trip. I've got to eat that one more sleeve of cookies. Or I've got to swipe my credit card one more time. You got it. Whatever it is, eventually the outcome falls apart. Eventually, when we make those kinds of decisions, the seams start to come apart. And ultimately, it kind of leads to disaster. One more rarely adds to anything. In fact, it usually subtracts. Oftentimes, it subtracts the things that we value the most. In fact, even as adults, we tend to run into this 5 more minute rule all the time. It just takes on different forms. We were talking about kids and getting home at night, but how many of us, as adult drivers, we tend to drive at or slightly above the speed limit just fast enough that we don't have to encounter the police and give us those beautiful gifts that cost us so much money. The fact of the matter is that our natural inclination our natural inclination is to live as close to the line as we can. The line between legal and illegal, the line between responsible and irresponsible, the line between moral and immoral, between ethical and unethical, the line between I am still in control and I need help. It's human nature for us to snuggle up to those lines in our lives, to get close, but not close enough to get fired or expelled or kicked out of the room. There's an assumption behind all of this that I hope that you'll let me take a few minutes and illustrate for you this morning. Here they are. It is not wrong. Then we say, well, then it must be all right. The answers are up there for all of you that don't normally get it's up there. We love to say, well, you know, if it's not wrong, then it's all right. We say things like, it is legal. If it's legal, it's permissible. If it's not immoral, it's acceptable. And if it's not over the line, if it's just kind of close up to the edge of the line, then it's still fine. Now, if it isn't obvious that that kind of thinking will get you into trouble, I want you to put on your older sister, older brother, or parent hat this morning, okay? If it hasn't sinked in yet, don't you set the bar that low for your children. You better not. You don't organize your life and their lives under the lowest common denominator. Aren't we guilty at times of asking, how close can we go without being bad? How wrong can we go without really doing something that's going to get us in trouble? How close? I am guilty of this all the time. How close? I shouldn't be confession right now. This should be something. How close can I get to sin without sinning? There we go. There's one, two. Eventually, we ask, how far can I go over the line without getting caught? How unethical, how immoral, how insensitive can I be without creating unmanageable consequences that I don't want to have to get involved with? How long can I neglect my family, my finances, or my health without feeling the results? How much can I manage an addictive behavior without becoming addicted? That's right. It is a slippery slope that we just like to get so close to because we're sure we can handle it. And then we can't. And then we can't. Living on the border takes away margin. And there's nothing that I have said to any of you this morning or at any other time that you have not heard me before. That's right. It's why we react when we look at somebody that we love, snuggling up close to those lines or borders in life, not reacting to what they necessarily are doing, but as parents or loving, caring people in their lives, we see where they are heading. Thank you, Doris. God bless you. Which leads us to question number 4 that we have been looking at. You remember the first three? You're to ask the question all the time. All the time. Am I being honest with myself? Really? There you go. There you go. Am I being honest with myself? Really? And you always got to stick that really in there. Then the next question is, what story do I want to have told long after this moment? You remember we've told you that when you look back on your life, it's really just a series of decisions, one after another, and those decisions that we made as we move along in life, we look back on them and they just become a part of our story. So, the question is this: what story do you want told about your life and those decisions? Sometime long after the decision is over, what story do you want, not just yourself, you know, I know how that is, we kind of shine it up, and I'm always the hero and the good guy, and, you know, gets back to that sinning thing, but all of us, we leave a story behind. And not just the story we want to tell, but the story that other people will tell about us. And then the third question, is there a tension? Not a tension. It's not attention, it is a tension. Is there a tension that deserves my attention? You know, when everybody else seems like they're in agreement but you know, there's something still inside of me bothering me about this. In those moments, we need to pause and pay attention to the tension. Which brings us to today. This question requires and is evidence of maturity. And refusing to ask it takes us back to the first week when we talked about that one little passage of Scripture from Proverbs 2, verse 22, verse 3. The prudent see danger and they take refuge. But the simple keep going and pay the wise people. They understand that one thing leads to another, and when you're being wise about it, you decide accordingly with that in your mind. But the simple, they just keep going on and they'll eventually pay the price. What is the wise thing to do? The option that you need to consider, or amongst the options you are considering. There are decisions out there that you may look and say, well, it's legal, or it's permissible, or the one I love, it's industry standard. Or, hey, that's acceptable. But is it wise? Is it wise? A decision can be not wrong and unwise at the same time. Isn't it true? The greatest regrets in your life. We're going to pass a mic around and you can all share them this morning, okay? No. The greatest regrets in your life were preceded by a number of unwise decisions. Not wrong decisions, not illegal decisions, not immoral decisions, but unwise. And that series of decisions that you made along life's journey, you look back on and you say, that led to this, and that led to this, and that led to this, and you've regretted it ever since. So why don't we this morning just say, let's quit playing the 5-minute syndrome rule, or the I'm not sure. It might not be right, but I might be wrong. Let's put a rest to that illegal question. Let's ask the question, what's the wise thing for me to do? And the Bible talks about this, no more than just the Proverbs passage. Paul talks about it, and he gets right to the heart of the tension in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, be careful about how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making every opportunity, because the days are evil. Basically, what Paul is saying there is a lot of things have changed since the first century, but not human nature. We are all prone at times to live carelessly and unwisely. And while folks are snuggling up to the line, Paul is saying, stop it! Stop it! He says, I want you to be careful, not careless in how you live your life. And then he gives them kind of this grid about how to deal with any issue in your life, be it financial, relational, professional, academic, whatever it might be. He says, always ask the question, what is the wise thing? He continues, he says, making the most of every opportunity. And that literally means in the Greek, literally it means redeeming or ransoming time. Don't you wish that you could go back and redeem the time you've wasted on bad decisions? I know I do. I could redeem the time. Spent all that time making these stupid decisions, and it led to this one, and I'm still bearing the consequence. All the time. All the money. And as painful as it is to look back, it's necessary to help us understand the invitation embedded in Paul's words. He is inviting us to invest our time wisely from this moment on. You are invited to leverage your most valuable asset. It is the asset of your time. And to use it in a different way going forward. Then he tacks on this warning. He says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Evil days, Paul? What's he talking about? It's, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We aren't living, people, in a morally neutral culture. Anybody want to admit to that this morning? We are not living in a morally neutral culture. I mean, how many times have you seen a commercial on television or on a billboard or anywhere on the internet, in the paper, that has said, an ad encouraging you to be wise, to be careful, to be in self-control. When was the last time you had a sales associate come to you and say, you know what, rather than buying it right now, go home, sleep on it, and think it over? Which is Paul's point. We are not going to get support from the culture. We might get it from our friends, maybe, but culture says, now, not later. It says, more, not less. You just got to hit that in the right place and just the right hardness to make it louder so you can all hear it. Back to our question. I want to encourage you to ask this question. What is the wise thing to do when you're making decisions? But I want you to look at that question through three prisms. The past, the present, and the future. In fact, we've talked about this before. In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? You know the old saying, those who ignore the past are doomed to repeat it in the future. On a personal level, it could be rewritten or re-said. Those who forget yesterday are bound to be caught in the same mistakes today and tomorrow and on. Our personal past predisposes us to blind spots in our lives, to addictions in our lives, to temptations. So in light of what we've lived through and the experiences we've had, every decision needs to be filtered through the question, what, in light of my past experience, my present circumstances, what's the best decision? We all set up, we never set up really to fail ourselves, but sometimes, perhaps something that we've had no control over, you know, we look back on, if I could have only thought through that better, if I could have seen that coming, what is the wise thing to do? Financially, academically, on and on and on. So Paul says, okay, in light of my past experience and my current situation, you know, this season of life, I'm not going to, you know, snow you all this morning. I'm not in the greatest current situation in my life. I got a dog that for 16 years, I've been dragging that thing around till he poops and then take him back home. But doggone it. You know, you start to love those things. He's going to, one way or another, pass in the next 24 hours. So that's on my emotions. Rita, you know, just alluded to the fact that this was my last Sunday at Waldemar. Hey, you know, that's on my emotions. You're a lot of people you love there and care about. So I'm not telling you my problems, okay? I'm just saying, you know, we get all of these emotional, we get to living life in our current circumstance, and we got to realize that whatever we're going through right now, that's gonna affect our decisions. So we got to look at it in light of the past. We got to remember, you know, we might not be the best in the best frame of mind to answer a question in the present. But we have to answer them. So what's the best thing to do? Ask the wise question. Is this the wise thing to do? Scripture says, in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams. Chances are today that all of you here have a mental picture of what your future is going to look like, or what you want it to look like. My guess is none of you envision that future and living it alone. But the reality is the deck is always stacked against us. And life many times can be hard on our dreams. There is always a headwind against us. And I don't want to contribute to the demise of my own life, and I don't want you folks to contribute to the demise of your own lives. No one plans that. And asking the wisdom question, though, brings clarity to our options and our consideration. There is something about asking the question about what's the wise thing to do. It's like taking a big old bright light and shining it on the options that we are trying to consider. When you start to shine that big old bright light on those questions and those options, you know what? You begin to see shades of gray, and things become painfully clear. We say things like, well, it's not going to hurt anybody, or I can handle it. Or the best one, I really love this one. Oh, God will forgive me. He came and walked amongst this earth. He died on a cross. He was spit on. He was beaten. He put up with our crap for 3 years living on this earth. And the best we can come back with is, oh, God will forgive me. We say things like that. And our excuses that we put up there, you know, the I'm not hurting anybody, I can handle it, God will forgive. In light of that light of wisdom, and what's the wise thing to do? You know, our arguments sound pretty good. But what are they going to lead us to? You may be able to handle it right now. It isn't illegal yet. And God, yes, will forgive you. But so what? The purpose of the fourth question is not to keep you from doing something wrong. It is to keep you from doing something unwise. Because unwise is the gateway. It's the gateway to regret. It paves the way to the tipping point of no return. So are you willing to put away your old worn-out excuses once and for all? Because all they really do is silence our conscience and diminish our ability to hear the voice of wisdom. Your excuses will usher you to a place of regret and abandon. So don't excuse yourself forward. Dream yourself forward. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Where do you want to be in 5 or 10 years? And if you don't decide, you know who will? Retailers and lenders and people who don't have your best interest at heart. So what are you doing now that could rob your future? Is your relationships paving the way for the relational futures that you want to have in the future? Or are they leading you to a place you don't want to be? Everybody ends up somewhere in life. I want you, truly, all, to end up at a place where there is purpose for you. And wisdom paves the way. Same friend that I was talking about had the 5-minute rule with his kids. Didn't want to have that, you know, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. He said this. There is good and there is bad. But that is not my cue. Rather, what is the wise thing to do? There is good and there is bad, but that's not my cue. Rather, what is the wise thing to do? People, this morning, I love you. And your filters are much, much better than good or bad. Don't settle for what's legal or permissible or tolerable. Don't live your lives just kind of close to the border. Rather, live your lives in such a way that you will get the life that you deserve. So what is good and bad, that's not my cue. The cue is, what is the wise thing for me to do? Now you got the last word on that. Let's try the whole thing now. Ready? No. Just remember. In light of your past experiences and your current circumstances and your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Let's pray together. Lord, I just thankful for everybody that's here this morning. And Lord, I just ask that each of us would really be honest and say, you know, gee, he's kind of right there. What is the wise thing to do? And help us to start to ask that question a lot more in our lives. Lord, things aren't random. So help us to look to you for wisdom and guidance. So we make the decisions we make day by day, knowing that, you know, when there's danger in the path, the wise people take refuge, but the foolish just keep going on and pay the penalty. Help us to remember all of these questions. And so, Lord, that they might impact our life for your glory and the good of those around us. Because, Lord, our decisions affect more than us. They affect so many people in our sphere of living. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.